You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Hey, I want to say to our man, Vinny, Chris Vincent, who was here yesterday, and he's watching and listening, and we were talking about your project there, Vinny. What a great, great thing. And if you need another instructor for ice fishing or perch fishing or pretty much anything, our man Cheese Curd Nick there would be your guy.
He'd love to do it, too. He just has a great passion to help people.
Yep.
And just like you guys doing here with the vets.
It's a great program. It was great having you guys in here on the studio yesterday. Yeah. And we got Joe Vertigan here. Joe's a longtime friend of mine. We always tell the story. Joe was my favorite intern I ever had.
Yeah. All we got to say, China Beach and Kentucky Fried Chicken. I could tell you stories. They're pretty good.
Joe, you're a great storyteller, too.
Yeah.
The other guy, one of my other interns. I've had some really great interns.
Sheeplebine is probably your most famous one, right?
Well, I don't know, because the guy that is editor of the Appleton Post Crescent was an intern of mine.
Who's that?
I can't think of his name right now. He was my intern. He's editor of the Post Crescent.
Right.
And
the Postal Croissant, as we used to like to refer to in radio. Yeah.
But, Mark Sheeplebine worked in the NFL and for the Packers for a lot of years. He always still tells the story. I had to do a charity thing in Oshkosh. He was going to UW Oshkosh. He said, "Mr. Mayo, I'll buy you breakfast." My dad said, I should buy a country kitchen.
Right.
Said, yeah, sure. Okay, no problem. So he's got notes and all things. And then I also do with the women's basketball and softball. And he goes, Mr. Mayo, this is another thing my dad said. I went, "Do you have any questions for me?" And he goes, "Yeah." Mino goes, "Yeah, I do." "Oh, sure, sir. Anything." He goes, "You can eat that toast."
Yeah.
Fun days, Joe. But you've etched out a phenomenal career. Worked at the Green Bay Correctional Facility for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Wrote a great book on that, which has been crazy popular.
Yeah.
But your passion, and you and I work the booths together, auto racing.
Yes.
And you have that rare breed of talent. And it'd almost be like, you know, with the Kentucky Derby. I always said I want to be a Derby guy. And down the streets they come.
I'd love to do that.
But you do such a great job, and you really need to know that sport in racing, because there is so. I remember Ted and I, when we first started, we can do anything. And then you got a race going on, and you got 14 cars, each one doing something different. And it's like,
And they want to hear something about everyone, and you're the only voice, right?
It's been a great ride, and you know, this is actually my 43rd year announcing. I'm kind of paring back. There was a time in 99 2000, I would announce four nights a week. I did 80 shows one year with specials. I did Thursday nights was WIR. I think that year Fridays I was doing Chilton. Saturdays was 141, and then Sundays was Seymour. And I was working full time at the prison. When I did that, I worked in the kitchen. I'd be so tired, I'd go sit in the dairy cooler with a cup of coffee and just kind of catch a nap every now and then.
Okay,
when the inmates were out.
How many hours sleep did you get last night?
Last night, so I announced a race in Eagle River Speedway, and driveway to driveway for me, it's like an hour and 25. My head hit the pillow around 1 a.m., and then we got up around 4:45 to get up, so maybe three and a half hours of sleep. Drove down here and with my buddy Dave Deffrey.
Because, where do you live these days?
Dunbar, Wisconsin. Yeah. So I'm still in Green Bay like almost maybe once a week for running errands or some kind of business or, book interviews for the next book or whatever the case is. So
I know we're going to talk about racing, and I just love what you're doing, but I got to go back to the prison because I interviewed you a couple times on that. What do you think? I mean, we talked, and you're super honest about about what you think about it. But it seems like it's catching some momentum, doesn't it?
I'm not buying the BS. And I'm gonna tell you, Jim, the politicians on both sides of the aisle, just my 2 cents worth. I don't think we'll ever see that thing close, not in my lifetime. Right. It's a political football. Maybe it won't. If it does close, I could write a second version of my book. I don't know, but. Put it this way. When I started there in 93, they were already talking about closing it.
I'm just curious because it's in the news a lot, right? Budget's going through. You read about it pretty much every week. It's something. But I was just curious. We can get back to the racing. But you worked there for how many years? 30?
2 months shy of 27 years.
Okay. So, and you know, you just not only know the operations, you kind of know the politics of it. That's why I really found you so interesting.
A little bit. And again, what the media is not telling you is they spent so much money upgrading the plumbing in both cell halls. That thing's more modern than you may realize looking on the outside.
Just because something's 100 years old doesn't mean it's obsolete. Because Johnny and I like history. We've been to the Northland Hotel and we, but they put a ton of money, right? Probably $40 million just to that hotel. And I don't know how much you got into that prison.
The biggest problem I see with the prison, you got a bunch of bureaucrats from Madison on both sides of the aisle that never step foot in a prison making all the decisions on policy. And it's just, it's not good for the DOC.
I just got to ask, because I told these guys, they don't believe that I used to play fast pitch softball up in the Marquette State Prison.
Oh, sure.
And you'd have a guard behind you with a, semi-automatic and everything. They'd lock in a thing if you didn't. But you guys face that every single day. What's that like going to work every day? Bye, honey. I'm going into the prison.
Well, you almost become maybe immune to it. You become, we always use the term relaxed but alert. You learn to grow eyes in the back of your head real quickly.
Yeah.
And we always used to joke, there's some of the meanest, nastiest SOBs you'll ever find. And then there's the inmates, That was always the thing. Yeah, management was always kind of crawling down your back. But whatever.
Defend isn't the right word, but you thought some of these guys were okay. But as you said to me, nobody's in there for missing church.
They're not in there for missing Sunday school. And I know there's a lot of protests that are going on, on behalf of the inmates and that kind of thing. I get all that.
Yeah.
But there could be some reforms in some spot. Biggest thing nowadays is we weren't trained. I retired in 2020. A lot of us weren't trained to deal with the mental health part of it. It's very real now. And most of these young kids coming in, they're all on all kinds of psychotropic meds. And it's a tough job enough as it is. Even at $36 an hour, I still have friends working there. They're still short staffed. So it's a tough gig no matter how you slice it. And what the future holds, I don't know. I'm not as optimistic about them closing it down as maybe the media and the politicians are.
Right.
Just my 2 cents worth. I've been wrong before.
But you keep your pulse on it.
Oh, I do.
Which I think is interesting about you. I mean, that's why I had you come in here. I had Jim Rafter come in, who's a big,
Jim's a good guy.
He's a great guy.
Yes.
But, it's going to close tomorrow, and you're like, it ain't going to happen, Jim.
No, not, like I said, I respectfully disagree on that, but maybe it will. I don't know, but I have a hard time believing
it. Back to Rick, a good texter. I miss the old days of the Brown County Fairgrounds racing. Earl Ness, Bobby Marcus, Ted Peters, Bob White. Great times when I was a kid.
Earl Ness, actually, the first book I wrote, he was the first interview. And he grew up on the west side like me and just a classy guy. He ended up being a flagman, too, after he retired from racing. So who sent that text? I probably know who
Terry
it is.
Terry from Ashwaubenon.
Oh, very cool.
Joe, Brown County doesn't do racing. Is that something you think should come back? That's a popular sport, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was the neighbors shut that down, didn't they, Joe? Because of the noise.
Here's what happened.
Which, ironically, here in downtown Green Bay, the noise is 10 times as bad at night now.
They didn't shut this down.
Well, no, but the thing is, the noise, it wasn't the people that lived initially around there.
Okay.
It was when the wind was right, it was the folks at Alloy, I hate to say it, and I think a lot of the racing community blames Nancy Nussbaum at that time. She was the big one that spearheaded the move to stop the racing. It was not just
was
her.
Was that a dirt track?
Yeah, it was a dirt track. Last race he ever held there, July 8th, 1979. And there was a lot of issues in 79. They had bad weather. Remember, there was a gas shortage then, so gas prices went through the roof. The cost of racing went up. It was just a lot of factors that led to it.
Perfect storm to put down.
I don't think you'll ever see racing again on DePeer. And the reason being, there's so many tracks that are active now. The market actually is almost too saturated now as it is.
I was going to ask that. I mean, you were mentioning Chilton, Seymour, 141, all these little towns. Are they still surviving or thriving? Because I loved 141 Speedway. When we'd come down to those dirt track races, I really enjoyed that.
So the problem in racing right now is we have a very aging demographic. I hate to say it, but our hardcore fan base is literally dying off. And that younger generation
is facing that same thing.
Well, it's a mirror of NASCAR, kind of. And it's back. So the back gate's healthy. When I say back gate, the participants, there's a lot of racers. There's enough cars. My concern looking down the road 5 or 10 years from now is the fans. You know what I mean? Successful racetracks locally will do a better job of getting just the average family out there to catch a race. Because that hardcore race fan demographic, it's literally dying off.
You know, that's not the only industry and even look what they do over at baseball now with all those. You go there for the game, and even that guy who was on for that football thing, indoor football. It's more you go to the game, which is I don't know half the entertainment.
Right,
they just do so many other things for. giveaways or contests or concerts. You know, they're bringing
up bands. People have come to expect that.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well, they come in and
they want to be entertained.
They do.
They have short attention spans.
Right, and see the game or see the track or see, yeah.
You cannot drag a show on forever all night. And it's that's society nowadays. But that's my concern with racing locally. There are always going to be racers. It's the hardcore fan base that I'm concerned about.
Well, you know, that was one of the things, though, too, that we fought with Joe, and you were part of this, in regards to, we wanted to get WIR on and run their, you know, we want to televise and do their feature and do the whole thing. And well, they didn't want that because they thought that would keep people at home instead of coming out to watch.
And I argue the opposite.
The opposite, because you're exposing it to more people that aren't getting off the couch and coming to the race, and maybe that would inspire them to come to a great event. True?
Yeah.
Yes. Here's another thing that's happened. There's a lot of these online streaming services that almost every track has them now. So, you know, people pay a subscription to watch it online. They'll hire a couple of young camera operators, you know, for whatever they pay them. And people are just sitting on their couch now and watching races. That's fine. And the tracks get a cut of that. But I don't know if it's enough. You know, you're not selling concessions to somebody that's on their couch.
And I remember even the Packers now, when they did not like when people bought their tickets but didn't go to the game.
Right,
because
exactly.
That can be another, what,
$100?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, parking, you take that all in. When it comes to that racing, I think the other thing that I'm sure you're very cognizant of it, but it's so competitive now with entertainment dollars. I mean, got, let's say a family says we got $1,000 for entertainment or something like that. I mean, a Packer game's going to wipe out half of it. But you're talking last night. Just every night there's something in racing or indoor football or an outdoor concert. You know what I mean? It's just it's hard.
And you know, when I was a kid at DePere Seymour Shawano, that was the powerful half-mile circuit in the 70s. And you had to get there early every night just to get a seat.
Right.
Well, nowadays, we didn't have Netflix. You didn't have all this other organized stuff, you know.
Right.
Kids used to play pickup baseball as kids. Everything's so organized and so detailed, and there's so many entertainment options. You know, it makes it tough.
We didn't have the Rockers. You know, just baseball. And that, I don't know how much tickets are, but
didn't have travel league baseball and hockey.
Right. Right. Exactly.
There's just a lot going on, but then you've got a pretty unique venue. I mean, it's not. It's very, like I said, it's very specialized. I think. I would like to own a track now because I think it'd be tough to get a track permitted now. Because you talked about the noise, but
everything.
Environmental things.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah. So that's why I think, you know, you're going to be here to stay. It's just, maybe you're in a little bit of a
There's
lull.
Something special about you. And I told
doubt.
I grew up going to Sands Plains.
Oh, yeah.
Sands Speedway up in Gwinn, Michigan. And there was something special about a Sunday in the summer walking into a dirt track like that or whatever. And,
it's paved,
that wasn't that was paved.
Paved, yeah.
Walking into a track like that, and there was just something very Americana going to a racetrack on a Sunday afternoon. I worked in the mines with probably five of the guys that were racing.
Oh,
so
sure.
The next morning, I'm going to be with them, handing them a wrench and talking about their race the day before.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know what your demographics are. You said it's aging, but we did a lot of that 141 in high school.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And just.
Absolutely.
But I don't know if high school kids do that. And maybe you got to get out and talk to them. Like, look at these hockey teams. You know, they get out and they go and talk to the students. They say, this is what I do. And it's like, oh, I think I want to go. You know, they build it that way. But it's competitive, but you've got something very unique. So
we got to start a quick break. Joe Vertigan, author and just an interesting all-around guy. But we're going to talk at a tremendously heartfelt cause you are working for with a very young racer. When we come back right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Fight with the Mayor here. Good looking Wednesday morning with Joe Vertigan, author extraordinaire and racing enthusiast extraordinaire. Joe, let's talk about a very special program you're working with right now and tell the background, please.
So a couple of weeks ago, Escanaba Motor Speedway, They have a division that's called, you know, they run these little wings. The kids can start racing at 5 years old. They run like winged micro sprints. Well, there was a young racer there by the name of Easton Windling. He had a really, really bad crash, was hospitalized for several days. He's since been released, but he's got a little bit of recovery coming. So the racing community always steps up. At Eagle River Speedway last night, we donated the 50-50 raffle to him. We passed the helmet, and everybody was throwing dollars and stuff in
nice.
It. Well, one of the things I'm doing, of course, my 2019 book, which was had a foreword by a guy named John Minel.
Great hell of a foreword.
Yeah, it was. Racing in the 906. So it's a book on my website, The History of Racing in the UP. Tracks up at Sands, like John talked about, Escanaba, Norway, and even up in the Sioux, up in Canada. And throughout the month of June, I'm donating all the profits from the 906 book. When you order them through my website at joevertigan.com, they're going to go towards Easton's family, nice. Kind of towards his recovery. You want to read a little snippet of your forward? Here, this is good.
I first met Joe Vertigan back in the days when he had a misguided dream of being a television sportscaster. One semester as my intern convinced him there had to be a better way to make a living. I mean, with all the fast food we consumed on a nightly basis, he soon realized there had to be a healthier and safer way to make a living, which is why he became a prison guard.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell, you know. I ended up in radio for 3 years, which was a blast, you know, but yeah.
I want to go back to these young kids, though, Joe. Is that safe racing at that young of an age? Is that...
It is, because I know at Escanaba, they do like a safety program. They teach the kids the flags, what they all mean. And the safety equipment's never been better with the Hans devices and all that stuff.
Because I know people are going to ask me that.
They will.
That.
But those kids, and I've met just a few of them, but not that they have a death wish, but those kids... They're on the edge a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of those kids, not all of them, they come from racing families often.
And
if they grow up around it, you know, they have that type A personality, whatever you call it, that adrenaline rush and stuff. So.
And it's no different than if your dad's a great golfer or your grandpa golfed and you want to golf or you hunt or you fish. It's all the same.
It is, really. And
How come you never raced, Joe?
Well, if you talk to my wife, is all you got to do. I'm a horrible driver, according to her. I'm actually a very bad driver.
Your cousin...
Scott Hansen.
Was one of the greatest racers ever to come out of Northeast Wisconsin. He was a
five-time WIR champion. Scott, five-time winner at the Milwaukee Mile. ASA and ARTCO Rookie of the Year. And he ran NASCAR trucks for 3 years for Kenny Schrader, too. So, Scott, now he moved back here. He lives in Howard. So.
Oh, we got to get him on the show here.
Oh, he would come in a heartbeat. I'll talk to him.
We got to give Joe's own racing section.
That'd be great. And to rebuild that, like I said, when you talk, I just harken back to high school.
Sure.
We all went.
Oh, sure.
It was a social event, right?
Everybody
Julie's
went.
Grandpa Girl used to go all the time. They were 80-year-olds going there and 16-year-olds.
I don't remember it being expensive, just fun. Right. I don't even know how much racing costs, but this Easton kid that you're helping out now, is he be okay?
Okay. He's back. He was discharging back home.
Where are they from, Joe?
Either Gladstone or Escanaba. Oh, okay. He might be right from Escanaba, the Windling family, but great racing family, and a lot of other tracks are doing stuff. My buddy Dave Depree, who you might have on the show down the road, works for NASCAR teams. He even got a bunch of the NASCAR guys in Mexico City to sign some autographed cards for this kid, so we're going to deliver them to him.
Who's the guy we had from the UP? I want to say he worked on Junior's car.
Oh, yeah, Greg Ives. Been doing it for a long time. Was with Alex Bowman. He's still up there, but I think he's got like some side of a management position where he's not traveling on the weekends anymore, but it's a grind. I mean,
well, it's a great story though. I mean, he was UP kid. I think he went to Michigan Tech.
Yes,
so big into the mechanical.
He's got actually got a chapter in the 906 book.
Oh, okay.
Yep, he's in
and
there.
I remember reading. He got a call from North Carolina. Said we need you to come work for us. We got to start tomorrow morning.
He was working at UPS up north in the UP when he was doing that. Yeah,
and he drove like 18 hours straight or something and showed up for work.
Yeah, he's living the dream down there. And
isn't
it's
that nice?
It's, you know, that. But that's a lot of these NASCAR guys, though, it's a grind. You talk to like Mark Martin, Matt Kenseth, how some of these guys, Carl Edwards, they don't like living in their motorhomes 31 weekends a year. Right. I mean, it does get old. And Dave Depree, if you get him on the show, he'll tell you about the logistics of NASCAR. It's a lot of rental cars, airports, you know, hotels and that kind of thing. That's, you know, it could be a grind at times, but there's a lot of cool stuff, too.
But you look at here in our community and the racing and you say that, you know, you wish there were more people, but some of those tracks are built for, I mean, they're bigger than NFL stadiums. I mean, some of these, they really bring them in. So, I mean, there is a market for that.
There is.
Got a quick tech. Is Jerry Munster still racing? That is a name from the past.
He is. Jerry's a friend of mine. I think he's 84 now.
Wow.
I know really? He was racing at Shawano, and he recently raced at Luxembourg. Or
at
was going
84.
To. At 84, yeah,
that's,
he's still
that's
going.
Cool.
Yes. Oh,
I
yeah.
Mean, see, there, that's a story.
He's
behind
still doing
the story.
It.
I mean, that's,
oh, yeah.
that's
He'd
that's
be good
cool.
on the radio.
He'd
be a great
be
guy.
Bring him on.
Yeah. He's one of the only guys that is still around from the Coupe era at the Brown County Fairgrounds from the 60s.
Okay, right.
Jerry'd be great on here. He's a great storyteller,
you know, you're talking
too.
About fairgrounds. That was the big thing in Norway and Escanaba when they'd have their fairs.
Oh, yeah.
The stock car races. That and the I want to say one of them had the figure eight. Maybe I'm thinking that wrong. But they'd have the demolition derby
oh,
to
sure.
close out the fair. That was everybody went to the demolition derby.
Everybody went.
Oh, yeah. Everybody likes to see stuff get wrecked. And yeah. back to the fair races, oh, they often paid like double points nights. And that was,
yeah.
you know, a lot of
huge
guys.
Huge crowds.
Oh, oh yeah. Man. When I worked at Norway those 5 years, it was like some guys would only dress their cars up and only race the fair. Race that was yeah. a big deal back yeah. then, you know.
I did the celebrity race up there 1 year
at Norway.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How'd you do?
Not good.
Well, when you raced Lindy Infante, I think Lindy won that one at WIR.
He put me in the.
In the pickers?
Toolies. Put me in the toolies.
You let him win. You let him win.
Say. You oh, know, yeah. every time I've gone to WIR after that, people brought that up.
Oh, sure.
Remember that? We'd be out there and people, hey, Mino, are you going to race again this year?
I think you were in Rick Spoo's car, 24?
Yes, I was. Yeah. Genuine draft.
Yes, Rick is still racing, actually, in the WIR quarter mile late model.
They were such good guys.
Oh, yeah.
That whole group down there, you walk around those pits. You want to talk about just a good bunch of guys?
Yeah, I think race car drivers, and they love to share their knowledge with us fans. And So what? Yeah,
well, we're out of time.
Okay, we gotta just get.
But we gotta
this
get you
great.
Back.
Absolutely.
I want you to bring on.
I'll bring Dave Deprey, and then I'll get Scott on here one time. I guarantee he'd do
we
it.
We got when we're done here. I'm gonna show you the openings we got for next week. We're gonna give you the time slot in the day.
You got it.
Joe Vertigan's racing segment. I like it.
Nice.
What do you think?
Awesome, guys.
Right. We'll get this back.
Don't let us know.
You bet.
In the dunes on the Cape.
Welcome back. Glenn with the mayor here. A good looking Wednesday morning. That forecast not looking great. Scattered showers today. High in the low 70s. 66 in Green Bay right now. 69 in Oshkosh. 69 in Appleton. With two of our great, great friends, Ben and Deanna Malcor, moving with the Malcors. Okay. A little disappointed in you, Dan.
Oh. I love when we start out Jeepers. Just like this.
Yeah. Our dagger.
Yes.
We have the same exact Italian heritage. Our mother's families are from the same part of Italy, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I explained that story to you from Jim's Christmas party.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Where he bought me a bottle of Tito's vodka.
Yes. How does vodka tie into our Italian heritage?
Because.
Well.
Sinatra
and Dean Martin.
Because we should have, yes.
Yeah, okay.
We
okay.
should have each other's backs.
Okay, I
all
really.
That.
And you, I didn't say it was wrong.
You didn't say it was right.
I just said I wouldn't have done it. Right. You can interpret it any way you want.
Fine. That's just fine. Well, doesn't his hot dog bar smell good out here,
it
though?
It smells delightful. Yeah.
Well,
just
it looks
finish,
good.
You should tell the story to our listeners, because they didn't get the Tito's
Jim
vodka.
Yeah, Jim a big hot...
No, the Tito's vodka. I don't care about the hot dog thing. But Tito's vodka. So I call, as I was telling you, the Melchors, that when I have a party, I pretty much know who's coming, and I kind of know a little bit about them, what they drink, and you know, some people wine, beer, and that kind of stuff. And I called Johnny, and I said, hey, what do you like to drink? Because he hadn't been over. He's been invited, but never shows up. He goes, I'm coming to your Christmas party. He says, I like Tito's vodka. I'm like, all right, great.
Yeah.
So I went and got a bottle of that. And some other people I'd called. Somebody likes, not bourbon.
Like a whiskey?
No. Rum.
A
certain kind of rum. And I don't have a lot of rum in my house, so I went and got a bottle of rum for him.
Sure.
Anyway, so we had the party. John?
Okay.
Take it
so I see
setting the scene.
Tito's is sitting right on that, like when you walk in the living room. It was like a gift set up.
Sure.
It was on the liquor table.
Did it have a ribbon on it?
No.
Yeah.
It did not. And it was just.
It was more of a presentation.
It was right next to the liquor. Communion where they got the platter of hosts.
No, it was
sitting out of your
walk-in.
It was amongst all the other bottles of liquor.
Yeah.
And so I go in and it's like, oh, I wonder if I should bring that into the kitchen. It's like, oh no, people. Here's a bottle half gone, wide open.
Yeah.
So just do that.
Yeah.
So he drank the bottle that was open of vodka.
Yeah.
And didn't open the Tito's, which I bought
for him.
Because he was coming.
Were you going to say
for him?
Okay.
For him to drink.
Okay.
While he was at my house. I did not buy
it. It's all semantics.
I like what you just said.
Deanna, if I'd have bought it for him, I would have put a ribbon on it.
Sure.
To John, Merry Christmas. But I just bought it as another piece of inventory.
Yeah.
So when I was walking out, I didn't want to be a rude guest.
No.
And not show my appreciation.
You want to take your gift.
Yeah. So I took my gift.
You didn't want to hurt feelings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And oh, he thought that was.
I just said to Donna, where did that bottle of Tito's go? Mino took it. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That's all right. Merry Christmas, Donna.
Now that it's explained a little bit differently.
Yeah. You on my side?
No.
Okay. Well, just so you know, Jim, when they were walking out, we were walking in as they were walking out, they had an armful of linens.
That's what happens when you get the tour.
Exactly.
Whatever. Okay, so.
By the way, Nick said he was, somebody even texted him and said, did he have linens at his cookout last night?
We were at my house, but we ate like over in the park.
Yeah,
and,
yep.
And we did not. Donna said, go get some of those. No, the napkins are good. They're the China.
Yeah. They're nice, thick ones.
They're China. No, there's a name for them.
Egyptian.
No, they weren't linen. They were.
Yes.
But they were. We didn't. Yeah. And which was, I said, come on, we can use these. She goes, they're going to be at the park.
No.
Anyway, so how are you guys doing? I know you're going to stop over last night, but you're busy.
We were,
you guys are so busy.
I was a little, you know, we were going to bike over, and I've got a nice basket in my bike. And I'm like, is it wrong? Is it wrong to bike over with alcohol?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Thank you.
Yeah, you don't need to bring alcohol.
Yeah.
Like this. You brought wine last time.
I would have been fine with this spotted cow.
Which was, but so I know you were busy, but you weren't there, which is a great excuse.
Yes.
You're busy.
Yeah. We got some offers in.
Yes.
So that trumps everything.
Absolutely.
That comes first. So
you live and die by that.
We
do.
And we have a really exciting listing coming next week.
Cool. We do.
Yeah.
We do.
Tell us
Over on Patty Lane in Ashwaubenon.
Yep.
Nice area.
Nice area. Three bedroom.
Ranch or two-story?
Ranch.
Wow. Oh, did you say those are like
this
the hottest
like
thing?
Would drop?
Oh my God. They're really good.
Yep.
Good.
Two-stall garage in the backyard in addition to a two-stall garage, which is attached.
Wow.
Yeah. Both heated.
Total man cave.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. Walking distance to Lambo.
I mean, if you're active.
If you're active.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're active. You know, I mean, it'd be no problem for you two guys. But,
yeah,
you know.
No.
Yeah. To drive. I mean, how far to drive?
She had me at active.
Back to the bike.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, it's
that's
just
awesome.
Right off of Cormier. So it's nice and close right to the stadium, too.
What better could you ask for than something like that?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's,
when's it going on the market?
Next Wednesday?
Next
I think
Wednesday
or Thursday.
Good for you.
Yeah. If you want any more information, give us a call, of course.
That's fantastic.
And then I want to just, the condos, Chris, people my age talk about condos all the time.
Yeah.
Sell a house, let's get a condo. And how are those going?
It's the
model. They're not built yet.
They're kind of pre-construction. They hope to start at the end of summer. We've got a lot of people swimming around.
Yep.
So, I think once they start moving, they are going to be, there's only six.
Yeah, I know.
So once they start, I think they're going to fly off the shelf. So we've got a lot of interest in, you know, it's six in one. They're kind of, what is that called? Zero entry? No, not zero entry. Zero lot line. Yeah. There you go. Thank you.
Okay.
And so they're six in one building. They all have attached garage, nice garage too. It's two stall with a back kind of storage area, workshop, whatever you want to use it for. We've got a ton of interest in the end two units, of course, because people like being, you know, having no neighbors on one side and just having maybe an extra window or two. But they're going to fly real soon. Give us a call if you're interested.
It just seems like there's more development. I see something was approved last night in Howard, which I think that's
not houses, but these kinds of things.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're kind of becoming, especially condos when you think about it and the age demographic that's coming up, they're ideal. You know, for people who like to travel, who maybe are going to winter somewhere for a couple months, to be able just to leave and not worry about, you know, lawn care and snow blowing and all that kind
that,
of stuff.
God bless guys. God bless northern Wisconsin guys. They still don't want to hire somebody to snow blow, to shovel, or whatever. And we had somebody on one time from an emergency room, and they said if people only knew the amount of injuries from guys in their 70s, 80s, even in their 90s. Remember I told you that guy in the UP with the head, unbelievable storm, he was 92, and he was still out shoveling his thing. But they say the injuries, the slip, and that could change the rest of your life.
Even
a cardiac event. Yeah. There was a guy I knew, he was in his 40s. He had a cardiac event, and he passed away snowblowing.
I think shoveling, right?
It was snowblowing.
Yeah.
I just think that people, I don't know if they don't think they deserve to hire it out, but I don't know, man. I got no problem with that because they have the equipment, which is, you know, they have the spikes on the little shoes, which, which I don't, I mean, I have them, but I...
You never throw them on.
But it, just everything, and they also do a better job than I would. I mean, I'm not great at, but even with lawn care, it's like perfect. And, anyway... But if you're a condo, you're paying for that anyway. You just don't see it like that.
Yeah,
so when
you
look at your house, you say, well, I'm going to have some guy do my snowblowing, do my lawn, and clean my gutters. That's going to cost me X. Okay.
Well, and the benefit, too, I mean, here's not only just the care of it. I mean, we think about it all the time. When you do leave for a couple months, if you're going to winter somewhere else, and you get some cold up here, and maybe your furnace goes heat goes out. Yeah. When you're kind of sandwiched in with other buildings, that's going to keep your space a little bit warmer. So you don't have those same fears of a single family home where when you leave for a couple months, that's you could be thing. Coming back to a mess.
I went into show house one time in Ashwaubenon. It was a flip type thing. And the furnace had gone out.
Yeah.
And we walk in, and it's like,
you can tell right when you walk in.
My God. Yeah, and the all the water was frozen in the toilets, and then all the porcelain was cracked, and it was coming through the ceiling.
Yeah.
It, and then when you turn the heat back on.
So would you like to write on this?
Right? People don't understand the damage that that can do.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Then there's another one over on Stadium Drive. Our good friends had the Dr. Funhouse where you guys shot that thing. Yeah. And the same thing happened. That's what it was called, right? Dr. Funhouse?
Yeah, it was.
and the same, they said they walked in, it was almost like stalagmites. The icicles were so big coming out of the ceiling
at
the house next door to them.
Yeah.
Oh, so, that's just heartbreaking.
I wouldn't be able to sleep well on, you know, if I went away for the winter someplace, having a house, I would have to have somebody staying there or something.
Yep. Or, you know, we're fortunate where we live. We just have the best neighbors. We do. We talked about that last night. People like, and you know, people are like kind of a louder neighborhood. No, not where we are. Like, we have just great. And if they would move, I tell you, talk about affecting our decision. If our neighbors on both sides would move,
neighbors can make it and break it for
you. They can. And they watch your house. They got, you know, it's still the old days. If you need a cup of sugar or something, they just are great, great people. And if you could, too bad you can't control that as buying, but that's very, very important. And some of those condos, maybe they are more, because we all live in the same building, kind of.
Yeah.
And we support each other and watch out.
You know, one thing, though, just switching gears real quick there, I wanted to mention this to you guys. I saw, I want to say on 9th Street.
Okay.
A house for sale, $159,000. And it's like, I haven't seen 159.
It's been forever.
In a long time.
Those are numbers you don't. You don't
see. How many offers is that? And it was, it had been flipped or whatever. You could tell. Sure. It looked nice.
Yeah.
But 159.
Yeah. How's the foundation, John?
Well, I probably doesn't have one.
You know, I think that's a number that's a little like, I think you go in a little like, let's just see what's going on here.
I would too.
Because those numbers, especially on 9th, that's a really great area to live.
Close to Mason Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was just so cool to see that number.
Yeah, I hear that.
I know. Yeah. Just go with that. Just know that. Yeah. But maybe. I mean, you never know where they got it, what they did to it. And it could be really, really, you know, it could be 900 square feet. You just don't know.
Well, I always check the history.
Yeah.
And I want to say in 2012, it was $49,000.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's just a crazy pricing that we've experienced.
That just shows
double. It's just that this isn't the 7-8%. It's doubled and
tripled.
That would be tripled. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, though, the real estate, though, in our community is, it's not crazy, but I really like to see all this new development that's going on.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to free up more properties because I think we're growing, but we're not growing like people wish we were growing. I mean, we're kind of moving a little bit of the furniture around. We are growing, but not, we're not growing at 20% or anything.
Right. Yeah.
We're not booming like some of these communities. So I just hope that we get ahead of the game because we got behind and all these developments, DePere, you know, obviously Howard, you know, they got a big thing going on. And, you know, the city's working pretty hard here too about some development.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I think if that 2-3 years, maybe we can settle things down. I don't think we're going to see 159, but I just think we're not going to see this crazy stuff anymore.
Yeah.
We just kind of need it to, you know, even out a little bit. So it's a little bit more even playing field for everybody.
Well, it expands the potential marketplace that you guys have of potential buyers and sellers.
Well, I mean, that's just it. We have the buyers. We just need the inventory. Right. That's always the issue. Yeah. Right?
Anything under 400,000, we need inventory desperately.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It still sounds like a lot of money to me.
I know. Yeah. It is. It truly is. And it's just the way that first-time home buyer's price has gone up is insane.
Any bright lights
insight.
It's the train. It's the train.
When I see those little houses, I think of some young family.
Yeah. Well, you've got a lot of DIYers too. So, you know, even if you have a, you know, a home that is a little bit distressed, there's a market out there for it. People love that when they can take a home and make it theirs.
Yeah.
So sometimes they don't realize that, you know, how intensive the projects can be.
Right.
But a lot, you've got a market for it.
My son just bought a house in Colorado, paid over $600,000, and it's 1,800 square feet.
Wow. Oh,
that is just ridiculous. I believe it. Yeah.
We are lucky here.
Yeah. We are.
Your money, you could still, I mean, there's that one report. You can still.
Our money goes further here.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons we're
an
attractive community. And it just does. And people need to really appreciate that. I mean, things cost money, but. You know, you're still, your money goes further here. You don't have any money left over in Milwaukee or Indianapolis or especially New York. But
all right, hold that thought. We're going to set a quick break. We're with Ben and Dan and Malachor, Moving with the Malachors. Everything you want to know about real estate taking place right now in Northeast Wisconsin. We got it for you. Back right after this.
The games you play to say, I want something else to get me through this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. We are moving with the Malachors. Ben and Deanna Malachor run a phenomenal agency here in downtown Green Bay now in a beautiful part of town on Main with a 120-year-old building.
So pretty.
Love it.
Yeah. We love it. Every time I walk in there, I'm like, I love this space.
I don't
blame
you.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Exposed
I've always wanted something like that.
Yeah.
That is an awesome feeling that you just can't buy.
Yeah.
To walk in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't build it.
Yeah, I can't build it.
You can't build a place like that anymore.
That feeling is... I know exactly what you're talking about because I walk into a couple places like I love this and you're not going to duplicate that.
No,
the best builder won't duplicate because first of all the cost would be crazy to spend that kind of money on what you have there.
It would be.
That's right on 13. What's 100 block?
It's 1238.
Okay.
Yeah, Main Street. We're on the second floor.
Right, and there's more businesses coming there. I mean, I see some of the signage that's coming up. And
honestly, I think that building is.
I think it's full.
Okay.
I think it's full.
Which is cool. That tells you.
Yeah. It's a hot market. Everybody keeps. Right. You know, if one frees up, there's somebody in that space. So
great parking. I love it when I see like a third floor that's vacant or something in some of those kind of buildings right down the street from you guys.
Yeah. I love
that.
I know.
Well,
and
a shout out to Jeff Merkus. Jeff is so good at walking around and just making people aware of opportunities downtown.
Yeah. Yeah, what a definitely. Guy. You know, we this happens to be owned by somebody that we know in the business, which was great. But Jeff was such a big help when we were looking for a new space and kind of alerting Ben to things that he knew of or saw or whatever. But about a guy who's got his finger on the pulse of this city.
Did you guys ever go down the street to the Crown there for one of their pizzas?
Good. New York style.
Pepperoni green olive.
And what they do with their mushrooms.
They cook them at... They really know what they're doing there.
They
know what they're doing with the pizza.
They cook some of the stuff before and then put it on again and cook it again.
Yeah.
They really know what they're doing with pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza is like by far the number one fast food that people like.
Oh.
I mean, anything. Yeah. I don't think you got to get the word out more. Once you go there, that's going to be one of your places.
Well,
you're
and right
go.
Now is the time. Like being there in the summer when they've got that, you know, the outdoor area open.
It's kind of an indoor outdoor place.
Right. Yeah, it's perfect. So even if it's raining, you can go and sit outside. It's
and
wonderful.
It's there's history there. It's just it's a cool ambiance there. Unlike
you talk about the old buildings.
Yeah, that's fun.
Well, right through those doors, that's where I met Ben because that was Boomer. So you know,
it's
been
really.
Like, Top
that's
Hat,
where we
Standard
met.
And Company.
Oh, yeah.
And,
Okay, can we talk guy talk?
Sure.
So you met this hot chick at Boomer's?
At Boomer's.
Yeah.
You'll never guess what dance got her out on the dance floor.
Tell me.
The Humpty Dance.
You let him tell that story?
Boomer's was too rough for me to go to back in the day.
Isn't it amazing the power of alcohol?
I know. Well, I think actually it was a city party. It was a parky party.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you were a parkie?
Nope, I was not. Neither of us were, but we both have friends that were. Oh, okay. And so we got invited. Yeah, wow. to the Monday night parkie party.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, Ben and Dan and Malkert, tell us what you got going on right now, what you're looking for.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna do one more shout out for Door County. We are still looking for Bayfront property north of Sturgeon Bay, probably as close to Egg Harbor as possible, up through Sister Bay. On the bay, at least 4 bedrooms. They would be a cash offer. So if you're thinking about selling, we've got very motivated buyers. Let's just say that. So we're scouring, and so we've even sent
cash.
Out cash. Right. We've even sent out
motivated.
Postcards. Yeah,
I know.
Motivated.
Those are good words.
Yeah.
Wow. If I was even thinking about it, I'd call you.
I know. Right?
Not that we're going to do it for sure, but like we've talked about it, let's just call the Melcors and see where we're at.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So we still have needs up in Door County for some of our buyers. So if you're thinking about it, you know,
we've got a buyer in Green Bay. Again, talking about those lower price points. Nice young gentleman. Anything under, I think he's 169, which I know is really, really tough. But
he's handy,
young man. You know, we've got another set of buyers. Anything under 350,000.
Yep.
They're pre-approved for. So
tell us one more time about the Ashwaubenon one. This sounds
phenomenal. Yeah. Over on Patty Lane Ranch. Almost all of the concrete has just been redone. There's a detached garage that's 2.5 stalls.
Heated.
Wow. There's a 220 plug in there. So if somebody's into welding or whatever, it's going to be hitting the market next week. It's
huge
within
backyard.
It's within walking distance and or biking distance.
Or driving.
Depending how active you are.
Yes, I know. Do you guys have a moped?
Shadows of
Lambo. And we may have one coming up.
Yeah.
In the Schmidt Park area.
Yep.
That's
another good neighborhood.
Five bedrooms
in the 300. That one needs a little love.
A little TLC.
But it's going to be an awesome home
for
somebody.
Great bones. A lot of updates to those big ticket items.
Yeah.
So kind of like one of those big old houses?
New windows.
Yeah. Kind of a Spanish-inspired exterior.
Nate. You guys have some good listings.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. We've got great clients. We do.
I know a lot of people would kill for those kind of listings. Those are great.
Yeah. We've got some good ones coming up.
Did the one by Bayport sell?
It's under contract. Yeah.
We do have the one off of Humboldt, private again.
Yep. Oh yeah, that one with a pond.
10 acres pond, which is stocked. You know, the guy who owns it, he hunts on it. Right in the city limits.
Yeah.
Yeah, another ranch, exposed ranch at the back, but
finished basement
sitting on 10 acres in the city. Boy, can't ask for better than that.
That's one of those that it's been on the market for a while, so people wonder what's wrong with it.
Right.
There really isn't anything wrong with it.
Right.
Come see it.
All right. Phenomenal. We got contact
you guys.
Give you,
so much
going on.
Phone number 920-495-7653. Always the best way to get a hold of us, whether it's call or text.
7653 would be Bob Skoronski.
Oh, there we go.
Yes. He was the best.
Was that not 76? Was Chad Clifton as well?
Very good. Was it very good?
Yeah. That's 53.
Why I always do the thing.
Koontz.
George Koontz.
Oh, yep. Man.
Very good. Nicely done.
Bicentennial.
Or if you want to go way far back, Freddie Carr.
Freddie Carr.
Yes.
Good gravy. That's going way back.
You guys are awesome.
Thanks for having us.
Stop in.
Keep us posted.
They're phenomenal.
Yep.
Quick break. Back after us.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.